Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? That was amazing. You guys are doing fantastic. That's one thing a church in the Midwest will never be confused with is a church down south, I think. You know? There you go. So today we're going to start a new series called The Life of the Church, How Jesus Empowers. And this series has been some months in the making. This winter, as Scott and I evaluated where we were as a church, we looked around, see what was going on, what we maybe perceived as the needs of the church. We really felt we needed to regroup around what God has called us to as a church, what we should value. And we hope that what we value is what the Lord values. And so that led us to wanting to do a vision series. Now, we've done vision series in the past, but in relation to those vision series, we wanted to do this with a specific purpose, to evaluate the things that God would have us to value together, to partner around, in order that the church would be infused with life. And when I say life, I mean Christ-empowered life. And the maybe theme verse for this series comes from John 10:10. Let's put that up there, I think maybe the second slide, where it says this: I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus was talking to a group of people when he was on the earth and talking about how many had come trying to play the role that Jesus should ultimately play in people's lives, and that the devil, whereas the devil comes to kill, to destroy, to take life from us, Jesus has come in order that we might have true life, full life, abundant life. And although Jesus came that we might have life, doesn't mean we're necessarily experiencing this life to the full. And I think of a person who's on the verge maybe of suicide, has no hope, feels like they have no joy, all the way to the point where they're going to end their physical life. The truth is, Jesus died for them as well to bring them abundant life, but they're not experiencing that life. And I hope most of us are not in that hopelessness. I believe that most of us are not to that point. Most of us are experiencing some sort of life. But the truth is that Jesus wants us to experience true, abundant, full, deep life in him. Like deep, deep life. So in these next months, we're going to dive into what it looks like to experience abundant life through Jesus Christ, the life of the church that Jesus empowers. This week, I'm going to kick it off with simply defining what it means to have life in Jesus Christ. John 10:10, what does that even mean? Next week, Easter, Scott's going to preach on the fact that we are empowered by Jesus Christ's resurrection for life in Christ. Then we're going to talk about the empowered life comes through community, prayer, the word, pursuing after God, being on mission, partnering together, making disciples, fulfilling the Great Commission. All these things are intended that we might experience the life that God has intended. So before we get into John 10:10, I want to pray for this series, for our church, that God would infuse life and life to the full. Lord, we thank you that you came that we might have life and have abundantly, Lord. That's the type of God that you are, that you want to infuse us with deep happiness, deep joy, a passion for God in you. And I pray, Lord God, that over these weeks and next couple months, Lord, that you would stir up life through your Spirit by us partnering together on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, so first question for you guys, and I want you to actually think of this in your head so you don't have to answer this, but are you personally experiencing abundant life, which you would call as abundant life? Are you now experiencing abundant life? Looking at that verse again, Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. I think it's somewhat widely accepted, whether you're a Christian or not, but I have to say it, that we have a physical life, right? I'm either dead or I'm alive, and it's pretty obvious which one it is. So I'm living, you're living. But at the same time, we can be either alive spiritually or dead spiritually. We can have a deadness in relationship to God, or we can be alive and living by his Spirit. In the original language, the word life is translated Zoe or something like that. I'm not a scholar in that way, but it means absolute fullness of life, God and genuine life, active and vigorous. And it's this idea that God is actually living inside of us, working inside of us, so that the things that God values, I value, the things that God would want us to do, I do, and I do it because he himself is living within us. And he says that he's come to give us abundant life, over and above, more than is necessary. And Jesus, in another part of Scripture, said that those that come to believe in him, streams of living water will flow out of us. And this idea that Jesus wants to fill us so full that we would influence the people around us. That not only would we have joy, we have passion, we have love for God, but as those around us experience life with us, through relationship, they would be touched then by the grace of God through this life. And here's the thing about God's plan for your life: peace, joy, satisfaction. The opposite of maybe emptiness, dissatisfaction, constant anxiousness, is that this satisfaction is to be found in a very specific place. And it's not what God gives us. It's not the things in him, circumstances he gives us. It is to be found in him. In him. Through him, by him, with his Spirit living within us. To kind of give a demonstration of what this is, I'm going to start with what it doesn't look like. And what it doesn't look like is trying to find satisfaction, fullness of life, in something outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus told a story in Luke 12. We'll throw these verses up here. In which a man was trying to find satisfaction in something other than Jesus Christ. And he made it very obvious, because he spoke to even his own soul. He spoke to his deep down soul, and he talked about how he had a lot of things so he could just, you know, eat, drink, relax, and be happy, be satisfied. So let's read that together, Luke 12. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said this, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So Jesus, in this parable, he's teaching that don't put your hope in possessions. The man wasn't rich towards God. He was rich towards himself. But at a deep down soul level, I mean deep down, where he was trying to find his happiness, he was trying to find his satisfaction, his joy, his pleasure in what he owned, his possessions. And this, we might look at this in Christians and say, this is so obvious. I mean, I would never say to myself, soul, be so satisfied with what you have. But in the same way that this man did this, we often go to something else, something that we run to, we hope for, we long for, in order to find satisfaction. So just a few things I thought of. There's this big, and these are at root level good things, but deep down, root, like what you look for as your God, they're idols. There's this big craze, fitness crazes where fitness is good, being healthy is great. But for the person that thinks, you know what, I'm going to be satisfied with life. I'm going to be happy if I lose 10 more pounds and I get ripped abs. Ripped abs. I had ripped abs one time, people. Okay? Those days are gone. But if I said to myself, when I get ripped abs again, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Then I will be satisfied because, you know what? People will think highly of me. I will have this look, okay, that I can display. That's where I will find my satisfaction. Or if I would say, you know, when I get that job, when I land that for me, that multi-million-dollar home I'm going to build, then I'm going to be satisfied. That's the things I'm going to give myself towards. Or some people try to find satisfaction towards another person. I'm going to live my life out having satisfaction in my family, my kids, my wife. Maybe for somebody that's single, they're saying, I'm going to be satisfied when I get married. When I find that husband or wife, I'm going to be satisfied. Or some people might say, I'm going to be satisfied when I get that next gift that is from the Lord, some pleasure, some entertainment, some people that are younger, maybe very simplistic, that next video game, that's going to give me satisfaction, whatever it might be. And the truth is that God has designed us, we're his creation, to be satisfied in him. And so when we get those very things that we think is going to bring satisfaction, all that is emptiness. And it's the next thing, and it's the next thing, and it's the next thing. And we run until we can't find satisfaction, but we're looking for the next thing. I have a video here, and I'm a sports guy, so I found a sports video, but I'll relate it to other things in life here, okay? It's a video of Tom Brady, who I don't personally like as a football player because I'm the Patriots, okay? But Tom Brady, now I think he's a 5-time or 6-time Super Bowl champion, I don't know. But at the time he gave this interview, he was a 3-time Super Bowl champion, signed a contract for $60 million, has a supermodel wife, all these things that people would say, wow, if I was that guy, I would be satisfied. But let's hear him talk about his life.
In addition to his success on the field and his sex appeal off it, there is also the $60 million 10-year contract to play with the Patriots.
I mean, I'm making more money now than I ever thought I could ever make playing football.
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew.
So interesting little dialogue by Tom Brady. And the truth is, we don't know where Tom Brady's at right now, but even though he's got 6 titles, 7 titles, most people think he's the greatest of all time, that is never going to satisfy his soul. Because Tom Brady, me, you, we were designed to be satisfied in God. So what is life? What is the life that we were meant for? Let's look at John 17:3. It says this, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It seems so simple, but yet our hearts oftentimes stray away from what the Lord has intended. To know God, to know him. And how are we to know him? We are to know him in the fullness of who he is. Jesus Christ as Savior to our souls. Jesus Christ as Provider, one who promises to never leave us, never forsake us. Our God as our Father who will always take care of us. As a friend, as a brother. And we can go on and on looking at the scripture, going on and on looking at what God has done in our life, going on and on looking at the testimonies of how God has provided for us. God is where our ultimate joy and satisfaction should be found. So for the Christian, it's okay to win a Super Bowl, right? It's okay to have a family, a wife. These are all awesome things. These are all gifts from the Lord. But for the Christian, our satisfaction goes beyond those things to the giver of the gift. And so whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we don't put hope in that circumstance, in that gift. We put hope in the Lord. In Acts 2:28, quoting the Old Testament, it says this, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." Here's the truth. You will be most full of gladness and joy in the presence of the Lord. That is where joy is ultimately found. In John 5:39-40, it says this, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Come to me that you may have life." In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So how do we come to the Lord? How do we come to Jesus? I was thinking of this, a couple ways that I've come to people's houses. Come to people's houses. I, under obligation, come to people's houses to visit them under obligation. Under obligation. Hey, I got to go over to this person's house. Okay, I'm going to go there. I'm not going to enjoy myself. I'm not willing to go there. So do we come to the Lord in that way, knowing, okay, the only way I'm going to have eternal life is if I come to the Lord? Well, I don't want to do it. I don't find him attractive. I don't find him desirable. Or do we come to the Lord because we want to, we desire to, we enjoy to, we long to? Do we come to him when it fits our schedules and fitting him in other things in life? Or do we come to him because we understand that's where true life will be found and is of value to me, so I'm going to come to him, I'm going to spend time with him, I'm going to obey him, I'm going to trust him and love him? The word abundant life, this word abundant in John 10:10, that same word is found in another part of Scripture in Ephesians 3. And I want to skip down to verse 20. And this is what it says about Christ. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Jesus Christ is able to do abundantly more than all we can ask or think, and is that type of God that we are to find satisfaction in. We are to go to him, to run to him, to look to him in prayer, in the word, following him for the joy of it. Now, what is better? Having the $60 million that Tom Brady has so you don't have to worry about food or provision or a home to sleep in, or having a God who owns all things, who will give you what you need when you need it? What is better, having the $60 million so you can buy toys for enjoyment? I like toys. Or having a God in which in his presence is fullness of joy and experiencing that joy. This past spring break, we went down to Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, and I got to spend time with one of my good friends, Scott's brother, Kurt Champers. Don't get to spend much time with him. I dig the guy. He's a fun guy to be around. And I was really, really looking forward to this vacation because I hadn't seen him in a while, and we just hung out. We talked. He's a funny guy. He's accepting. He encourages me. And I long to be with him sometimes. You know, it's fun. It's great. In the same way, the Lord, in his character, who he is, wants, what he wants to bless us with, his presence, taking care of us, his promises, if we see him as he truly is, we will want to run to him just like a great friend, spend time with him just like a great friend, get to know him just like a great friend, get to experience him with the abundant life. So how then is this life in us? And it's in us through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. I mentioned early on that just as we're physically alive or dead, we're either spiritually alive or dead. Here's the truth of Scripture. If you do not have Jesus Christ, if you do not have salvation of your soul through Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead. And this might be hard for some to hear. Hey, I have a good life. I have a good life, even though I'm not a Christian. I have a wife, a family, a home. I'm a nice guy. But the truth is, when we look at eternal life, true life, deep life, what God has intended for those that he's created, it is only found in Jesus Christ. So when we look for something to run to satisfy us, it has to be to Jesus Christ. John 6:63 says this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." Romans 8:1-2 says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Our sin separates us from the Lord. Our spirit becomes dead because of our sin, but because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because his life and death has broken the curse of sin, we're able to experience life, receive his Spirit, live by his Spirit. And then we walk out that life by his Spirit. Romans 8:5-6-11 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So we experience this life by God giving us his Spirit, and we walk out in the power of the Spirit. So here's some questions for you to help you evaluate. Where are we trying to find life? Where are we trying to find life? And I think these questions help us to see and evaluate our own hearts and minds. First question, what dominates your thought life? What dominates your thought life? And I'm going to give you a couple examples for myself of, because I think we all have potential idols in our life that are wanting to grab our attention. Live for this. Live for that. About a year ago, I flipped a house. I bought a house and flipped it. And I made some money. And it was fun. It was exciting. You know, you're conquering life, right? And right away when that happens, something inside of me is like, do that again. That was fun. You made money. That took time, money, effort. Do it again. Do it again. And so that thought begins to grow in my head. And finally, I had to go to Scott and be like, hey, Scott, I want you to keep me accountable, because I don't think I should flip a house for a little bit here. I'm thinking about this a lot. So I decided not to flip a house for some time. Next thing, I was a wrestling coach this year. Decided to do it to reach out to the community, help my boys in wrestling. But being a person that really likes to dive in 100% with things, all of a sudden that's what's on my mind. That those are the things I'm spending time thinking about constantly. Constantly. And so then my life is wrapped up more in that than what the Lord wants for me. And so we have to reevaluate, steer ourselves towards the Lord, what he wants, what he desires. Second question, where does your money go? Where does your money go? In America, we likely all have hobbies. We likely all have hobbies. I have a hunting hobby. I like to hunt. And it's easy to have the newest bow, the newest arrows that fly straighter, the newest tree stand. And there's many things over and over again that we can pour our money into. And our money goes towards this idol because that is where we're finding satisfaction. Third question, where do you spend your time? Is it mainly on TV, entertainment, the latest and greatest, trying to find satisfaction with what we spend our time in? And then the last thing, what are the dreams that you have for your life? When you think of the things that you want to accomplish in months, years, are those things rooted in finding your ultimate satisfaction in the Lord? Or are they rooted in something else? Finding satisfaction in something else. The truth is, when we understand and we rightfully see, right, because we're sinful by nature, so we're going to have this battle of staying focused. When we rightfully see the value of Christ and the goodness that he brings in our life, the satisfaction, that truth should and will, if we carry it out to its completion, change our lives. Change our lives to be completely after Jesus Christ, if we see it clearly. Matthew 13:44 gives this short parable, one sentence. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What was the key for this man? This man found a treasure that was worth more than anything else he could have in the world. No other gift, no other pleasure, no other thing that would take his time, no other thing that would take his money. He valued this treasure above any other thing. So he sold everything else that he had, and he went after that treasure. Full bore. If we understand the value of Jesus Christ, and we rightfully see it as it is, we will more and more be willing to give up any other thing to follow Jesus Christ. And when we do, we experience life in Christ. Satisfaction. Is your life going to be perfect? I guarantee you it's not. Jesus promised it. Are you going to have troubles? You will have troubles. But your soul will be satisfied in Jesus Christ. John 12, 24 through 26 says this, whoever loves his life, and I'll add this, whoever loves his life in this world and the things that we can get out of this world loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So here Jesus traces teaching. If you value other things in life, you trying to find satisfaction in life and all these other things, you're going to lose your life ultimately. It's all going to amount to nothing. It's going away at some point. But if you lose your life here, if you lose the things that maybe everybody else values, you will find eternal life. You will find true life. I have a statement up here to summarize this idea. Once we know and understand that true satisfaction is only found in relationship with Jesus Christ, we must be determined to experience him to the fullest extent that we can. And that would be my encouragement to us as a church. That's my encouragement to us as a church as we go through this series, is that I'm convinced for myself and for you that you and me will be fully satisfied only in Jesus Christ. Back in my younger day, because I'm so old, there was this cheesy song that said, there's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you. You remember that one? Okay, if you don't remember it, that's fine because it's forgettable, okay? Old song, cheesy song. But true when we look at the gospel. There's a hole in our heart, in our soul, in our life, that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. That's the only place we're going to find satisfaction. That's it. That's it. So when we look at trying to experience him to the fullest extent we can, where I'm going with that is, God then has put in our way of living means to experience the fullness of who he is. Okay? So follow me on this. Here's the things that he wants us to be devoted to in order to experience the fullness of who he is. Community, word, prayer, being on mission for the lost, partnering together, making disciples, going out into all the world and affecting the life of Christ. Now, this may sound familiar because those are the things we're going to be preaching on these next weeks. That God not only gives us what we should be satisfied in, which is himself, but he gives us some means to experience him to the fullest extent, which would be, for example, community. There's a scripture that says, encourage one another daily that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, okay? God doesn't want you to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Here's a way that he gets you not to be hardened. He has other people around you keeping tabs on you so that they can spur you on, correct you, challenge you, encourage you. So if you want to not be hardened, you want to experience life, you will devote yourself to community. There's a verse that says, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. You want bread from heaven? Then dive into the Word of God. There's means to experience God to the fullness of what he wants. So here's a human example. If a man, say 25 years old, feels he will receive deep satisfaction from having a relationship with some woman that he loves, 24 years old, we'll say 23, 22, doesn't mean anything, just making this up. He will spend his time with her. He will spend money on her. He will think of what life could be like with her. He makes up his mind, hey, this is the woman I want. This is what I want. This is going to bring me satisfaction. And so I'm going to be determined to experience life to the full with her. In the same way, God wants us to be satisfied in him. I want you to be convinced of that. I want to be convinced of that so that our time, our money, what we value, what we dream about is found in Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you guys, find your satisfaction in Christ. As we evaluate dominating your thought life, where does your money go? Where you spend your time? Where are your dreams headed? If there's anything that's setting itself up opposed to you finding your satisfaction in the Lord, give it up. Turn away from it. Repent. Get back on track. Look to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Follow him. Obey his word. And he will give you life greater than that. A few years ago, I was helping leading a youth group. Kind of an odd story, but it goes somewhere. And this young lady asked, hey, are there going to be pets in heaven? Because I really love my pet. I really love my pet. And my response was, based on this concept, I understand you love your pet. I would love to tell you you're going to have your pet in heaven. I don't know if your pet's going to be in heaven. But here's what I can tell you. Whatever joy and pleasure you found in your pet on earth, that deep soul satisfaction, the Lord will multiply that times 20 in heaven. Will fulfill your need. Will satisfy you way more than that. And that's where we set our hope, in the Lord ultimately, not what he gives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you would satisfy us in you, Lord. That you're the kind of God that gives and gives and gives, Lord, to us of yourself. I just think even of the picture of the cross, Lord, of you willingly laying down your life in order that we might have life. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to lay down other things, Lord, to value you above all things, experiencing the fullness of life. And I pray for Bend City as a whole, Lord, that you would inject us with more life from the Spirit for your kingdom, influencing the world around us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.